Jeremiah 18. I want to look back at the potter knows the clay. Look in beginning in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Look back in verse 3, it says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. That lets us in on what a potter was like in that day. Nowadays they have electronic devices. Now they have tools and they have equipment. It was not that way in Jeremiah's day. It was rugged. It was crude. It was rough. It was difficult. The potter's wheel, simply put, was two stones, two wheels. One large wheel on the bottom connected to the spindle with a smaller stone wheel on the top. And the potter would sit there beside this device, and from the bottom he would kick the bottom stone and he'd get it to spin, and he would keep kicking it, keep turning it, keep pushing it with his foot. And by that rotation, the vessel was made. The lump became the vessel. So I want to try to draw from that this evening. We've looked at the clay must be removed. The potter had to go get the clay and bring it back from the riverbank. And the clay had to be refined. It had to be cleaned and all the debris out and the consistency right. And also, the clay had to be reformed when he got through with all that. It was just a glob. It was just a lump. And therefore, there was a process of putting it all back together and getting it to the lump to where he could begin to work. And so this evening, I want to deal with this thought. The clay must be rotated. That may sound strange, but it's exactly what I want to try to say. It's exactly what took place. It says that he wrought a work on the wheels. Those wheels made it to where the clay could rotate. It could go around in circles. The clay must be turned. The wheels must rotate. The table that he's working on must rotate. There must be some movement. Steel clay will never become a vessel. Clay that is not moving, if there is not the rotation, if the clay is not spinning, if the movement's not there, the vessel will never become a reality. And in this rotating, in this going in circles, in this spinning process, there's some things involved in this rotating process. The clay must be on the center of the table or the center of the wheel. So I could say it like this. This rotating process deals with the center of the wheel. One thing's for certain, that clay, that lump, had to be in the middle of the wheel. Can you imagine the difficulty the potter would have if he got it off center? I can see him chasing it around the wheel, trying to form it into a vessel. It wouldn't work. There's no way. It was of the utmost importance that the potter get the clay, that lump, right in the center of the table. And so it is with us. It is of great importance. In other words, there is no substitute for this. There is no replacement for this. We must, if we are to ever be the vessel that the potter wants us to be, we must be in the center of his wheel. Most of you know this, maybe all of you. A lot has been talked about in the last few years about the permissive will of God. Well, you know, if you know me, I don't believe there is such a thing. The permissive will of God indicates, well, you really ought to be in High Point, and you really ought to be in the class, and you really ought to be doing such and such, but you don't want to do any of those things, so you're in High Point, but you're just going to church, and you're not teaching, and you're not singing, and you're not participating. And some people think that's a permissive will of God. God permits it. Well, I'm of the opinion that the Bible teaches we are either in the center of God's will, we are either in God's will, or we're out of God's will. The clay has to be in the center of the wheel for Him to do the work. And certainly God will permit us to walk away from His will, but one step out of the center of His will and we are automatically, instantly out of His will. We are either in the center of His will or we're out of His will. And when it comes to making the vessel, when it comes to working the clay, the potter recognizes the importance of having that clay right in the center of God's will. Right in the middle of where He wants it and where He needs it. And if we expect God to work on us, if we expect Him to do anything in us and through us and with us, we must be willing to say, Lord, I want to be in Your will. I want to be right where You want me to be. I want to be in the center of Your will. I think a lot of people are wanting God's blessings, but they're not willing to be in the center of the wheel. A lot of people are wanting God to do good things for them, but they're not willing to be in the center of the potter's wheel. A lot of people are wanting God to mature them and bless them and use them, but they're not willing to be in the center of the potter's wheel. And none of those things will happen until we get in the center of His wheel. We get right where He wants us to be. If we're not, it isn't going to happen. There's no way to avoid this step. There's no way to sidestep or skip this process or this step in the process. We must be in the center of God's will. And I thought about that this afternoon. That involves just simply placing ourselves into His hands. For the clay does not place itself on the wheel. It doesn't even adjust itself. If it gets on the wheel and realizes it's a little off-center, it doesn't have to scoot itself over and get the right angles and measure from that side and measure from that side. The clay doesn't have to adjust itself. That's the potter's job. The potter is the one who even puts the clay on the center of the wheel. So my point is this. All we got to do is surrender and say, Lord, I want to do Your will. So many times we're so busy doing this and doing that and staying busy and we're stopping this and stopping that and quitting this and all those things, I suppose, have their place. But the bottom line is I can be doing and be completely out of God's will, doing good things. So my point is this. When to say, Lord, place me in Your will. I submit to You. I yield to You. Place me where You want me to be. Do what You want me to do. Tell me what You want me to do. And lead me in that direction. I yield. I'm talking tonight about the clay must be rotated. It must be turning. It must be moving. This rotating process deals with the center of the wheel. But again, the wheel has to be turning. There has to be movement. Without the movement, there'll be no molding. Without the movement, there'll be no change. There'll be no vessel. There'll be no work. So could I say it like this? This rotating not only involves or deals with the center of the wheel, but it deals with the circle of the wheel. It goes around in a circle. Again, there's movement involved. The potter sits beside the device and he kicks the bottom wheel with his foot. and he gets it started and he starts his work, and every once in a while, every so often, he'll kick the wheel again to keep the movement, to keep the circle going, to keep the wheel going. He turns the bottom wheel, which turns the spindle, which turns the upper wheel, which turns the glump, that turns the clay. So the wheel must be turning. I'll say it again. A steel lump will never become a vessel. A lump of clay that's not moving will never become a vessel. And that process of spinning, it is as though the clay, the centrifugal force, and centrifugal force is forcing it outward. It's spinning, it's going around, and the weight and the matter of the clay is sending itself outward. It's spinning and going around and pushing itself outward. And so I just wonder if every once in a while, if we listen real close, if the clay wouldn't say, "What in the world is happening to me? What in the world is he doing? What in the world does he have on his mind? Seems like my life is all in disarray. Seems like everything's just coming unglued. Seems like my life is just being flung to the wind. It just feels like everything's out of sort. He can't get any sense of direction. About time he recognizes something that's gone, he can't understand what's going on. I'm sure if we listened closely, the clay would say to the potter, "What in the world are you doing with me?" Well, Isaac Newton called it centrifugal force. We call it life, circumstances, just the situations of life. Sometimes it does seem like our life is out of control. Seems like we can't get a handle on it. Seems like you just don't know what in the world is going on. And sort of like the clay, "Lord, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen?" But it's a part of the process. It's a needed, necessary part of the process. For there must be this spinning. There must be this rotating. There must be this circle of the table, a circle of the wheel. I thought about this. That clay sitting on the upper wheel knows nothing about what's going down below, what's going on down below. That clay doesn't see the potter's foot. That clay doesn't see what the potter's doing. All that's beyond his understanding. He doesn't understand that. And so many times we miss the fact that all this conglomeration, all this mess we're going through, all these circumstances, all this revolving and rotating, all this flying apart stuff, God's in charge of all that. It's the potter working. It's the potter working. Because he wants to make a vessel out of us. And the circle of the wheel. Sometimes the clay probably feels like he's about to fly apart. You ever felt like that? You say, "I feel like all your circumstances, everything in your life coming unglued." Well, that's how it is with the clay. We all face this when the potter's working on us. But you see, he's turning and he's spinning. And he's working, and it's necessary. You see, the centrifugal force, now there's more involved than just that. I'm not going to get too scientific tonight. That centrifugal force of the spinning or the turning of the wheel, the turning of the lump, it's pushing the clay out. It's pushing it away from the center. It's pushing it out. And then at the same time, the potter's hands are pushing it inward. So you got the pushing out and the pushing in. You know what that's called? That's called pressure. You ever felt any pressure? You ever been under the pressure of life? Pressure of jobs? Pressure of family? pressure of junk at the house falling apart, pressure of physical problems, pressure of expectations from people. That's what life's all about. There's pressure. But God's using that, Potter's using that pressure to mold us, to make us. That's what He's attempting to do. That's what He's trying to do. You experienced any pressure lately? You ought to say, thank you, Potter, for working in my life. Sometimes the pressure can be severe. Sometimes it feels like it's more than the clay can stand. Sometimes I'm sure the clay says, oh, Potter, what are you doing to me? But that pressure is needed. That pressure is making the vessel. I want to say again, the potter's in charge of the whole process. He's in charge of placing the clay on the wheel. He's in charge of the spinning of the wheel. He's in charge of the speed of the wheel. He's in charge of the pressure applied to the clay. He's the one that's in charge. All we can do is yield. Well, I shouldn't say that because that ain't true. We can resist. That's a different message. I'm trying to talk tonight about the potter and the clay. The potter knows the clay. He knows us. He knows us. He knows me. The clay must be rotated. Gotta say something else. Look in verse 4 again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The word marred means to be spoiled or ruined. We are not told exactly what happened, but we know something bad happened. Something happened wrong. The clay was marred. I ask you a question. Why was it marred? Was it something the potter did? Somehow he pushed when he should have pulled? Was it something wrong with the wheel? Was he spinning it too fast? Was it him? Was it his tools? No, a million times no. It wasn't the potter or his work on the clay. It was the clay's fault. The clay was where the fault lies when it was marred. Bottom line, somewhere in the process of the potter working on the clay, that clay got stiffened up, resisted against the potter's touch. And when it did, it was marred. So could I say it like this? The clay must be removed and refined and reformed and rotated. The clay must be responsive. Clay's got to respond to the potter's touch. Got to be pliable, soft and tender and easily manipulated, easily controlled. For there to be a vessel, that clay must be responsive. It must be submitted. It must be tender. It must be willing. It must be open. It must be surrendered to the touch of the potter. Every part of the lump has to be submitted. If there's one spot that resists, if there's one hard spot, if there's one spot that says, no, the vessel's going to be marred. The work will be stopped. The work will be hindered. The clay must be responsive. So that tells me something. It tells me that the clay needs to be sensitive, tender, easily manipulated or moved or changed. The clay must be sensitive. If it's going to be responsive, if it's going to respond to the potter's touch, if it's going to be changed, if it's going to be made into a vessel that will honor the potter, it must be responsive to his touch. And that means it's got to be sensitive. It's got to be soft and tender. It's got to be responsive. It has to be pliable. It makes a great difference. If whether the clay's tender or sensitive or not. Are you sensitive to Him? I've said this often, I'll say it again. Are you tender to His touch? Here it is. Can you hear Him when He whispers? Are you that tender? Are you that sensitive? Does He have to shout to get our attention? Oh, for that clay to become the vessel. It has to be sensitive. It has to be tender. It has to respond. It has to be responsive to the potter's touch. Can you hear Him when He whispers? Got another question, even harder. Do you obey when He whispers? That's what I'm talking about. Hearing Him is one thing, but listening to Him and doing what He says is quite another. The clay may feel the touch. The clay may feel the pressure that the potter's putting on him, but if it resists, it doesn't matter if it feels that touch or not. We may hear Him, but are we listening? Do we hear Him? Do we listen to Him? Do we obey Him? Do we force Him to be rough on us? You know what the potter will do? If that clay is not sensitive, if that clay is not tender, if it won't give in to the slightest touch, that potter will apply more pressure. He'll get more rough. It'll be more severe. It'll be harder. Have we forced Him to get rough with us? Have we forced Him to put more pressure than what even He wanted to do? I'm talking about the clay must be responsive. For it to be responsive and tender, it needs to be sensitive. If we resist His gentle touch, He's going to put more pressure on us. If we are to be responsive, if the clay is to be responsive, it must be sensitive. The clay not only must be sensitive, it must be surrendered. It must be yielded. The entire vessel depends on the pliability of the clay. Being soft and yielded and surrendered and tender. If the potter finds clay like that, look here. That's all he's got to do. Not even that much. I'm doing that to where you can see it. All he's got to do is just a little move of the finger. A little of the palms, and the vessel becomes a reality. As long as the clay is responsive, as long as the clay is surrendered, the potter can make the vessel he desires. If the clay yields, the potter's work is easy and enjoyable. I wonder if it's ever dawned on us that potter enjoys his work. He likes it. He likes doing what he does. And our potter, I'm convinced, enjoys working on us. Wonder how long it's been since we made our potter happy because we were so surrendered and so yielded. Wonder, does he smile while he's working on us? I mean this with all my heart. Do you think he whistles while he works? Because we make him so happy. Because we're so surrendered and so yielded. It's a pleasure. He's enjoying it. He's having a good time working on this lump of clay. Because the clay is responsive and the clay is surrendered and the clay is yielded. I'm talking tonight about clay. The potter knows the clay. The clay must be responsive. That means the clay needs to be sensitive. That means the clay needs to be surrendered. Could I say this? That means the clay needs to be satisfied. That's the reason for these verses, by the way. God is warning Israel. He's saying to Israel through Jeremiah, do you not understand I'm the potter and you're the clay and I can do whatever I want to with you? Israel don't like what God's doing. And sometimes I guess we don't either. I better put the take the I guess out, because I know sometimes we just don't like what he's doing. But for the clay to become the vessel, it must be content. It must be satisfied with what the potter's doing. It must accept what the potter's doing. Must be satisfied with the potter's plan. Realize he's doing the right thing. I may not really like being a vase, but the potter knows what he needs and what he wants. If he wants me to be a vase, I'll be the best vase he can make me. Understand? Surrendered to him. Yielded to him. Satisfied with his work. Satisfied with his will. I've prayed afresh and anew this week. Lord, help me to want your will in my life. Help your will to be my will. Help what you desire to be what I desire. One thing that runs through all of Scripture is the fact that we're to surrender, we're to yield. I won't take time to go through it. But all the way through Scripture we find this fact that we're to be surrendered to His will. Whatever He wants is fine with me. And if that clay is to become a vessel, it must be responsive, and that part of that includes being satisfied with what the potter wants to do. Sometimes he uses his palms. Oh, and it's so soft and so easy and so enjoyable. It's such a wonderful work. It's so tender, and his movements are gentle and easy. And just to be honest, it just feels good. Sometimes that's his work. Sometimes that's what he does. And it's so easy to say, Father, Potter, Lord, have your will. I mean, who can't surrender when God's blessing? Who can't say, yes, God, when he's blessing and everything's good at the house and everything's good at work and everything's good with the doctors and everything's good with the friends and everything's good at the church? Who in the world, when he uses his palms and his work is tender and gentle and it's a soft move, boy, everybody can enjoy that. Everybody can be, here's the word, satisfied when he's gentle on us. Everybody can say, yes, I take your will. I accept your will. It's exactly what I want when he's tender with us. When everything's being good, when everything's getting blessed, it's easy to say thank you, Lord, for when he sends the good stuff. But how long has it been since you thanked him for hurting you? It's not always the palms. Sometimes he'll take a finger and gouge in the side. Sometimes he'll take his fist and push it into the side of the clay. Sometimes he'll take that special knife and slice off a piece of the clay. And that hurts. It's easy to say, oh, I am yielded. What you're doing with me is fine. I am satisfied with your work. When he just uses his palms and everything's so smooth and easy and gentle, feels good. But when he starts ripping you apart and things start breaking and people get mad, and bills start coming that you don't have money for, and troubles come, and difficulties come, and everything's going backwards, when he starts gouging and hurting and ripping your life apart, it's hard to say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm content. Do a good job. Do a thorough job. Don't quit. But if we're going to be the vessel he wants us to be, we must be responsive, and that includes being satisfied, being content with his work. It's easy to say I'm satisfied when everything's smooth, but what about when you get to the rough spot? What about when it feels like he has beaten you up? Could have said it like this, when he's hurting us, when he's digging and gouging and beating and pushing, we are as much in his hands then as when he's gentle and smooth and tender. Maybe even more so, because he needs to hold more securely during those difficult, hard times. We are in his hands as long as we're still in the center of his will. we climb off the table, that's a different story. We may head that somewhere, that way directly. The clay must be responsive. That includes being satisfied. Satisfied with what God's doing. When we resist, it's just going to make it worse. I ask this question again. Where in the world did we ever get the idea that life was supposed to be easy anyway? Where did we find that? Where did we even get that idea? I'll tell you one thing. It didn't come from the Bible. It didn't come from the Spirit. It didn't come from the church. At least right churches. I got a feeling it came from the devil, because it sure ain't the truth. Life isn't going to be easy. Not supposed to be easy. We're in a world full of sin. We're in deformed, corrupt bodies. The potter's going to have to do a severe work at times. It's going to have to be hard. It's going to have to hurt. He's going to have to beat up on us. And he tells us up front, this is going to hurt. You ever gone to the doctor? And he says, now this may sting a little bit. You ever hear that? I'm telling you, you better start biting a bullet. Because this little bit of sting, it'll just about kill you sometimes. If he ever says, now this may just sting just a little bit, you better watch out. But the potter tells us up front, this is going to hurt you. You just will get ready. You just will expect it. But I want to tell you, the end of the process will be worth the pain. The clay must be responsive. That includes being sensitive, surrendered, and satisfied. And I'll say it again. If we resist, it'll be worse. When the clay resists, that potter puts more pressure and puts in a little bit harder and turns it a little bit faster. So I'll just say it like this. Go ahead and get mad at the potter if you want to, but you're going to make it worse. Go ahead and complain to the potter if you want to, but you're going to make it worse. Go ahead and resist, but you're going to make it worse. Go ahead and try and have your way, but you're going to make it worse. Clay needs to be surrendered and sensitive and satisfied. It needs to be responsive. I'll put this in. I could spend a whole message here. During all this process, every once in a while, he'll take his hand and dip it in some water and sprinkle it across, make it soft and pliable and moist. And every once in a while, that's what the potter does for us. He'll give you a message, all that you needed, just in time. You'll open a book, and all the truth of Scripture will jump out on you, and it'll help you. You'll read the Bible and boy, you got to open your eyes to something to help you to stay surrendered. The potter's in charge of this work. The potter's at work. I ask this question in closing. Why do we resist him? Why do we resist the potter? Maybe because of ignorance? We just don't even, we really, in spite of being in the church as long as most of us have been, maybe we are ignorant to the fact of we don't understand what we're doing. We don't understand what the potter's trying to do. We don't understand the cost. We don't understand the significance of just living our lives our way and not being surrendered and tender. Maybe we resist through ignorance. Maybe we resist through pride. We think we don't need His help. We don't need His work. We're doing just fine. I don't see anything wrong with me. Don't know what I got to. Why would I want to change anything? I'm doing a whole lot better than most people. Some people actually feel that way. Well, they're wrong. Why do we resist? Maybe ignorance, maybe pride, maybe selfishness. We just don't want to do His will. We just want to live our life our way. We just want to live life the way we want it to live and do what we want to do, how we want to do it. And you know what that is? That's flesh. That's Rick. That's me. That's flesh. That's the old man. And it'll get us in trouble. Maybe we resist because of fear. We're afraid if we submit what He might ask of us. If we submit, we're afraid what He might do. I mean, after all, with me not being in the center of His will, with me not being yielded, I feel like He's about to kill me. If I yield, what's going to happen? Well, He may kill you. It might get worse. It might. But listen, if that's the potter's will, if that's the potter's work, if that's the potter's way, the best thing we can do is yield. The potter knows the outcome. And the potter knows the process of getting where we're at to where He wants us to be. And that process cannot be changed. It cannot be diverted. None of the steps can be skipped. So here's the point of tonight's message. The message to this message is surrender. The message to Jeremiah's message was surrender. Have you placed yourself in His hands honestly? Are you there? Are you in the center of His will? Are you still resisting, or are you submitted and yielded and tender and responsive? Be honest. Are you yielded? Are you surrendered? Are you resisting? Have you surrendered to the potter? A songwriter said it like this. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we'd so yield to Him to where when people see us, we remind them of Christ. That's the vessel He wants to make out of us. It'll never happen if we're not responsive. It'll never happen if we're not rotating the circumstances and troubles and trials that just get us disoriented sometimes. Are you yielded?